How's everybody today? Good. Let's try that again. How's everybody today?
Good.
Oh, glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Are y'all selling any of that energy?
No.
You're not selling it?
I'll sell
yours. All right. I'm going to ask you a question today. What happened when Jesus died on the cross? Why did he die on the cross?
For
save us from our sin. And the Bible talks about that he shed his what?
Blood
on the cross. Now let me read this verse to you. It comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Hear what it says. And the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. Now, what does that mean? Anybody want to give it a shot? Jimmy?
It means our sins will all go away.
Yeah. So what does Jesus' blood do for our sins? Little Tim? He washes our sins away. Now, I want y'all to come over here to the table. Come over to the table for just a minute, all right? Where you can see. We can have some people on the back there. Some of you come around where you can see this. This glass here. Okay. All right. Now just pretend the shiny pennies right here is how God intended for us to be, for our lives to shine like that for Him. But what is our problem? What stands in between us and God? Why Jesus died on the cross for our
sins.
That's right. So, just pretend now. Do you see this penny here? Mm-hmm. What's the difference in this penny and this penny?
That one is darker.
Oh man, it's dark. You can't even hardly read anything on it. It's not. It doesn't look like what it was intended to be. Now, just pretend that in this glass here is the blood of Jesus, and this is our life. This is what sin has done to our life. I want you to watch what happens when I drop this penny in here.
It makes it darker.
Nope. It sure doesn't.
It makes it lighter.
Look what's happening to that penny.
It's cleaning.
What's happening
the
to that penny?
The sin is wiping away.
Huh?
It's washing away.
Look at it. Look at it. Can everybody see it?
Yeah.
See it there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's some more dark penny.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's pour this out and we'll get a look at this penny now. Okay. So. What has happened to that penny?
It's clean.
Look at it. Look at that penny.
Yeah, it's washed.
It has been wiped clean. All that crud has been washed away. Well, Brother Dusty didn't quite get all of it there. We're supposed to leave it in there for at least a minute. But it's been washed away. So I want y'all to remember that this week. That with your friends, the people in your life, that Jesus will take our sins away and He gives us life with Him forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word clear and plain and for speaking this message to children and to us today that You do wash our sins away. In Your name we pray. Amen. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? In a lot of ways. And as we're sending Dane out, man, these prayers of protection are real. This navigating, the world and all of, and just think of what has happened in the last month. I mean, Orlando feels like 6 months ago, doesn't it? And we stand now on the precipice of the two national political conventions and the Olympics. And the Olympics in South America. I mean, you put all that together, and the recipe and the invitation for people. And that doesn't even begin to touch all of what's going on in Europe and with the Brexit and all that. The Brits have gotten out of that, and now what they're doing on the continent. In the middle of all that, in the middle of all that stuff, it'd be very easy as a Christian, and some have already done this worldwide, to shrink back and say, well, you know what? I'm just going to wait for Jesus to come. And I'm going to check out. But the Bible also tells us that there is yet to be a great time of harvest that is coming. Who's going to do that harvest? Who's going to be a part of that? And the Bible also tells us that we're going to have opportunities that are literally out the wazoo to share the gospel of Jesus, to be a part of what's happening in the world. Never before have there been more opportunities to share the gospel in the world than there are today. So this isn't a time of drawing back. This is a time of saying, I'm going to charge hell with a water pistol. I'm going to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. This is not a time to sit on our Christianity, on our relationship with Jesus. This is a time to be on the cutting edge, to be busy about the Father's business. And for that reason, this is today's message. This is about third or fourth message that I was ready to preach today. But Lord, and you'll see as we get into it, those of you that were at our 9:30 teaching this morning, man, you're going to think that Brother Rick and I stayed up hours and hours this week coordinating what we were going to teach today. But as a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit did all that staying up and putting all this together. So key verse for today in this question, what about fun is this? From Nehemiah, as Ezra was speaking this, hear this verse. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, there are some in the body of Christ who have come to think that church, I'm not talking about this building, I'm talking about the body. When we use the word church, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a meeting either. We're talking about the literal body, the body of Jesus, the called out ones. That's what the word literally means. Ekklesia means out, to be called out of. We're the called out people. We're literally, this is what it is. He's called us out of the world, and He's changed us, and then He's thrown us back into the world to live as changed people. So there are varying opinions about this statement. So some think the church is not a place for fun. In fact, when I was a little kid in our church, there were some people that I guarantee you that they must have had a dose of vinegar before every worship service, every time we ever got together. It's like Finley's, my little grandson's face. I don't know why his parents did this to him, but they gave him a part of a lemon slice the other day. That's cruel and unusual punishment. Put it in his mouth, and he's chewing that thing along, and then all of a sudden you could tell when he got to the rind. And the look on his face. Well, that's the look a lot of Christians have. Some would say, well, you know, fun's okay, but man, that isn't supposed to be, you know, that's not supposed to happen with the church. For some people, you know, the killjoys are always there. When you get that rolling, you know, with a little bit of fun, they're there with their wet blanket to throw it over that and kill it and kill what God is doing. Some would say fun and Christian are opposite words. In some circles, they'd be right, wouldn't they? Some would say that God and the church are against everything that's fun. And some would even go as far as nothing about this would say, there's nothing about the church that could be fun. And I want to ask you, who's the giver of laughter? And who is the giver of joy? Now, those statements that I just read to you, they probably don't exhaust the subject. We could go on and on with those. But those opinions give you a good sampling. But I want to point you back to this verse. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We may get sucked into these opinions at times and go down that road. In fact, some people may think, well, that's how things are supposed to be. But according to this verse, that's not right. In fact, that kind of thinking, we'd have to join AA in using their phrase, which they invented, Alcoholics Anonymous invented this phrase, stinking thinking. Those things that I just shared with you, those killjoy statements about joy and about fun in the body of Christ, that's exactly what kind of thinking that is. Stinking thinking. So maybe today, middle of summer, you need a little reminder. I need a reminder. Maybe you need to relax just a little bit from the intensity of all the circumstance that surrounds you. Maybe we've forgotten what business God is in. God invented fun. He created everything. He invented the laugh and the smile. I want to ask you today, doesn't it feel good when you smile? Finley got, when he got up this morning, Megan's bringing him down steps. As soon as he saw his poppy, man, this big grin on his face. But he didn't want to come to Poppy. He was saying, down, down, down. He was ready to go to start his day. The energy required for a smile is much less than a frown. You know that, right? To tear your face up. I mean, you've been those places. You've been those Bible studies, those group men, those prayer. You know, and the people just contort. You know, and you look like it, you know, it's a scene out of the Wizard of Oz and that witch, you know, and those flying monkeys that she had. Some would say that God has no sense of humor. I'd say he has a great sense of humor. Just look around you. Just look at each other. Just for a moment, relax and think about some of these things. God built us for fun, for joy. That's why we like it so much. That's one of the marks of the master designer on our lives is to have joy. Now, what was the name in the New Testament that Jesus chose to give his story? What is it? I'll give you the Greek for it. The Greek is euangelion. Gospel, which means good news. Good news. Now, granted, people have to understand the bad news and the appreciation of that, because you never really desire the good news until you understand the bad news. But I'm telling you, it's good news. It's a good news story. It's something that'll lighten your load. Gospel, good news. And God's in the saving business, not the losing business. He doesn't want to lose any one of us. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's that other verse after John 3:16, you know. That's His desire for people. Man, I remember when I was a kid, we'd have some of these preachers come to our church. They'd talk about hell sometimes, like they enjoyed telling people they were going there. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, it was like, man, they're going to be there with popcorn and a large Coke and John. Yeah, man, they're going to hell. I'm not so sure that those places might not be swapped, if that's your attitude about people, because you see Jesus weeping over people that are going the other way. The lost sheep that we talked about last week, weeping over us, wanting us to come to Him. Just think of all the descriptions of heaven that are in the Bible, and what He has in store for us, and what He's planning for us, and the great joy. You know, God talks a lot about fun in His book, the Bible. The word joy, one of its derivatives, is used 338 times in the Scripture. The word happy, or one of its forms, is used 553 times. Let me ask you, can you see a pattern developing about what God's desire and design is? True joy only comes from one place. It comes from Him. God is that place. His joy and the fun that we have in Him is not a temporary thing. It's something that lasts forever. Here is His desire. As we live our lives, we live our life like Rick was saying today, squeezing every bit of juice out of it. So when we take that last step and we go into debt, we die. You know, it's a short trip. We've just taken that next step with Him. Listen to this from Psalm 16:11. You'll make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. And God wants to give us those pleasures. Maybe young, old, middle-aged, and you may be seeking for pleasure in all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, the real joy comes from the Lord. Joy is a gift from God Himself. Psalm 4, verse 7 says, "You have put gladness in my heart." Yet we've been robbed. We've been robbed of the fun that God intended us to have. Who's robbed us? Well, first of all, we've cheated ourselves. We believe the lies about us and about our true existence, and we could go on with a list of lies that we've come in agreement with, and we're out there with whatever theological system it is, if it's Pharisaical legalism or if it's permissiveness, you know, whatever it is, you know, whichever ditch you fall into that is not God's plan. I was talking to someone this past week, and they were struggling with sexual desires in their life. Not married, and I said to him, on the one hand, I said, sex is a gift from God. That desire is a natural thing from God. Not according to this world, but according to the Lord. But it's operative in God's protection. And that's marriage. Get it? Let me tell you, we're out here in our culture, you know, with all that permissiveness that really began in the, you know, big time in the 60s. It was before, but big time in the 60s, and so many of the natural things in our culture that were there to kind of rein that in have been removed now. And it's like, well, whatever you want to do out there. Well, what is whatever you want to do? Where's that getting us with that? I don't see this great multiplication of joy out there. What I see is a lot of sadness. A lot of sadness. Because I'm probably the last person that they call before they call the undertaker. And God wants it to be joy. Who's robbed us? Well, the devil and his demons have robbed us. John 10:10 says what? The thief's purpose, why he's come, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And why Jesus come? But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Great joy. Most joyful people that I know in the world are people that are locked and loaded with Jesus. That's a fact. That's not a, well, I'll just drag that out of the air. That's people I know. I can show you the videos. Great joy. And some of you that have been raised in some of these awful environments, as soon as you get to really having a good time, you start checking yourself and think, man, I'm not supposed to be smiling like that. I'm a Christian. Hogwash. Let's have great joy. So we do it to ourselves. The evil one and his demons, they want to kill joy. And then the whole world system that we operate in is set up to kill our joy. And in this day, you know, it'd be easy for a Christian to say, well, you know, look at all the stuff going on around the world. How can you laugh and have fun? I'm saying to you, how can you not? Because you know who's in control. You know who's Lord over all of it. And He brings great joy. Man, that's one of the things. As we've gone back and forth to Nigeria, man, here are these people. I mean, they don't have anything. But man, the joy that is in their lives. The joy that is there. Can't describe it. It's time to stop slinking back in fear. Because see, the evil one, he wants to keep us in our place. Oh, it shouldn't be like that. I'm telling you today, it's time to jump the fence with joy. It's time to let it flow in the world for the world to see there's something different about you. There's something different. Lost sheep need to know you're a found sheep and you have found great joy in Jesus. I'm not talking about some plastered on joy, some hokey-dokey kind of stuff that you got to gin up every time, put on the plastic smile. I'm talking about real stuff. Real people who face real life but can have a real joy in their life. That doesn't mean you never cry. Man, you can't experience great joy unless you also experience that great sorrow and you're weeping. You're honestly looking at the world. You're honestly looking at things. Man, here in our family, we're sandwiched between this. You know, for the last 5 years, somebody's been sick every day. Somebody's been dying every day. The last 5 years. My mother, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. Bam, 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 bam. In the middle of that, what's God bring? Finley Michael. Woo! And boy, he just sweeps in. What a great joy. Man, you can't describe that. Number four. God's inviting us to a new place. Psalm 16:11 says this from New Century Version. You will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you will fill me with joy. At your right hand, I'll find pleasure forever. Whew. You see, you can't hide it. Because they're watching you when you're not looking to see if it is real. Who are you when the lights aren't on and nobody's watching and you're not pretending? Is there great joy there? You see, the Lord's inviting you to worship Him. As you begin to worship, in all the ways that you worship. I know when I say worship, you think about music on Sunday morning. I'm talking about worship as a life. Praising the Lord with your life. And you know, the reason why open hands to heaven are the symbol of worship are that they're empty. That means God can take out of them whatever He wants to take, and He can put in them whatever He wants to give. And it's surrender. It's the universal symbol for surrender. I'm surrendering to you. Sometimes we have to worship by faith. We don't feel like it. How many of you felt like going to work every day this week? Put your hand up. I just want to see if somebody'd lie. That doesn't mean you don't do it. You got to prime the pump. We'd get sick sometime. Wouldn't feel like eating. My mother would come in. She said, no, got to eat something. She'd eat. We'd eat, and what would it do? That primed the pump. Lord wants to prime our pump with worship. Take that step of faith. And let me tell you, and worship becomes an act of warfare in the world. As we worship Him, the plan of evil has to go by the wayside. Worship's like turning on a light. One of the houses we lived in, brick house years ago, and had a big old back porch. Had a nice big light uncovered porch. And we had big, huge oak trees that covered the back. You know what was on that brick on the back and at nighttime? There in the darkness, lurking in the dark, every night you'd go out there. I mean, some cockroaches that had raised. I mean, they were on steroids. Of course, I raised some in one of my cars one time when I was single. You know, you just throw those up, throw the Burger King bags in the back and all, and man, they... It wasn't natural selection there. It was... But I go out there on our back porch, flip on the light, and what happened to those roaches? Pew! They have to scatter! You see, that's what we do. Light scatters the darkness. Instead of you fussing and fuming about what's going on at work or in your home, why not be part of the solution? Why not bring to it some joy? And by the way, some of you have you ever asked the question, why they always bring gossip to you? If they're bringing it to you, they found in you a willing recipient to listen to it. Time to stop it. You can stop that. You can stop that in a heartbeat. You can become the antidote in your own home. God's showing us. You know, in most churches today, you know what people come in the church with? And they come in and say, okay, I dare you to bless me today. Let me tell you, when we were in Africa, by the time I got to the service, the time it was supposed to begin, man, those people had warmed up all afternoon. When they got there, they were ready. They weren't dependent on somebody to come along and jack them up every time. They were ready. They came. They gathered. When they gathered, they were ready. They couldn't wait to see one another. God's showing us how much fun worship can be. Look at the people in your life that God has blessed you with. Look at all that you have been blessed with. All you have to do is get on the internet. Can't believe I'm saying this. Get on the internet. But anyway. And look at all the sorrow and heartache in the world. And look at your life. And let me tell you, you're blessed. I'm blessed. So, it's time to do something about it. Here you go. Here's your action steps. I know some of you right now just look like you got the joy of the Lord on you. Boy, I can't wait to get to this. Change your attitude about the Lord, about His church, and about your relationship to Him. Stop believing the garbage. It wasn't Jesus that screwed up your life. Two, begin to look at things through God's eyes. Hear this verse from Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Seek His will in all you do, and He'll direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. What if you teamed up with the Lord today and let Him put a smile on your face? How much would a smile infect your office or your work environment? It's time to let go and fall into God's hands. In You, O Lord, I trust. Psalm 25 says, are you willing to trust Him? Not are you happy about the circumstances, but do you have joy that undergirds all of your life? A joy that you can dip down into. And I'm looking at a few of you that have walked through some difficult circumstances, and I have seen the joy of the Lord come forth in your life. And God's blessed you. Finally, it's time to start worshiping the Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He's your strength. He may just want to kick over a few things in your life that you thought were important. He may just want to come and replace that frown with a smile. But it means putting your trust in Him. putting your stuff in His hands. People say all the time, well, I'm weighted down. I have all this on me. What does the Bible say? Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You know what? He can do a better job with your stuff than you can. Why not put it in His hands? All the stuff. And let's see what God may do. There are people connected to all of us that are dying and going to hell right now. No doubt about it. They need to see joy in our lives and to be attracted to this good news. And it might be time for it to practice a little bit of this. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you can't say something good about them, then keep your cotton-picking mouth shut. Zip it. As Barney would say, that Andy Griffith theology, nip it. Now, it's amazing. I know you were thinking, man, He's going to give us some great theological depths of truth about real joy. And yes, I have. It's time to let go of you trying to do it and put your trust in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the middle of all that stuff, the Lord might want to tell you a joke and help you see things in a different way. It matters how you see things. Dad told me this story the other day, and I tell it to some of you for probably a third or fourth time, but some of you haven't heard this story. When he was growing up, he was the baby, and three kids, and my granddaddy was city electrical inspector. He would borrow two big 10x14 canvas tents from the city, and they would get in a bateau, a very small wood boat, five of them, my grandmother, granddaddy, three kids, and their stuff, and he bought a little 3.3 Evinrude motor, and they would motor out, and it'd take them half a day to get out there to Wausau Island, and they would camp for 2 weeks on Wausau Island. Can you get a grip on that? Imagine that. So this one trip, and Dad loves to tell this story, and my aunt, who we baptized here a couple years ago, loves to tell this story. Said they'd gotten there, they had brought everything up there, and Dad said, me and my brother Vic, my sister Helen, we were running up and down the beach, and they looked down the beach, and Aunt Helen said, look at Daddy. He looks real happy right now. He was jumping up and down, and they knew he was. It sounded like he was singing. And so I said, let's go down there. And Daddy's so happy we're all on vacation together. So they run down there, and they got about 50 yards from him, and they then noticed it wasn't singing, or at least not that kind of singing. He had dropped a 5-gallon metal container of water on his foot. And all kinds of things were coming forth, but it wasn't singing. They went the other way. I tell you that story to illustrate this in your life. You're going to have a chance to sing with your life Now, which is it going to be? You can holler out all the garbage, or you can sing the praises of God. Which will it be? What are you going to do this week? What are you going to do today? When you go to lunch today, in your neighborhood, in your family, might be time to get on the phone. Let's pray. Lord, we give you this day now. I thank you for hearing and answering us. Let us now be pleasing to you. Lord, as you send us out, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'd sure like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, there are baskets up here, a basket in the back. But I'm going to send you out right now with great joy. If you need personal prayer, Brother Dane, Brother Rick, and myself, we'll be available to you. It's good to see you today. Let me see a smile. Huh? Oh, I'm hearing cracking. Come on, just try once. Let's try. Let's all smile together. There you go. There you go. Now we got it. Sick 'em.